truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye. I think it's time we open up our eyes.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Vaccine Free America on republicbroadcasting.org, or RBN. Today, my guest is Pamela Evans Gary, a naturopath nurse, and she's been my guest in the past, but she's going to be talking about something completely different today. She has been fasting, and there are many health benefits to fasting, and she's going to come on with me this evening and describe what it is she's been up to. It's not her first fast, and she's been touting the benefits, but she recently, I believe, did a longer one, and I am very interested to hear more about this. I hope you are too. Stick around. Pamela, are you available?
I am, Sally.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your experience with us, because we all are looking for improved health. And if this is a terrific path towards that, we're eager to hear about it.
You know, Sally, I think it's unfortunately overlooked by the majority of people and practitioners and scientists and doctors, because it's a very ancient modality, and it's mentioned in most of the world's oldest writings. So we know that humankind has been fasting, and the word fasting can be defined any way that you want it to be in terms of what will you give up. But water fasting historically was the template for fasting, and I became interested in fasting when I left allopathic medicine. I worked in the Boston area in the 70s after getting out of nursing school, but I only stayed in that environment for about 3 years because it just rubbed me the wrong way. I couldn't understand why I would need to wear biohazard protective gloves when I was infusing chemotherapy into a cancer patient, thinking, well, why do I, as a well person, need to be protected from this when I'm infusing it directly into Mr. Smith's vein and he's dying of cancer? So I began to search for answers about the different approaches to healing, and I finally had to leave the hospital setting because I just could not in good conscience do to other people what I did not want done to myself. And I discovered a branch of biology called natural hygiene. It was very popular in the 19th century, in the 20th century, and it really was what was in place before allopathic medicine came in through Mr. Rockefeller's Flexner Report and that whole shift in public awareness and public education. So I found when I was leaving hospital nursing that I needed to do something with my education. So I went to the health food store and I began to read all the books there and learn about other methods of healing, international ideas. And in one of the books, I found a paragraph on a place called Hippocrates Health Institute. And I was living in Boston, and this place was actually right around the corner from where I was living, but I didn't even know it. And they offered a two-week learn-by-doing program. It was run by Dr. Ann Wigmore, who is now considered the mother of the holistic health movement. And my mom and I decided to go in. They were teaching about healing and fasting and juicing and colon hydrotherapy and raw food therapy. So we checked in for 2 weeks. It was a two-week program. And when Dr. Ann learned that I was a nurse, she asked if I would be interested to be on staff because they wanted to begin to draw blood to document the changes that they were seeing. And so I thought that was a great opportunity for me, especially at that time in my life when I was looking for something to invest my career in. The problem was I was a single gal with a car payment, and I got room and board and $50 a week. So I had to moonlight in conventional settings on the weekends. But it gave me a great opportunity to do an experiment. And throughout the week, I would work at the Institute and help people who were either health nuts and health seekers or people who were sick. There were a small percentage of people who had already tried chemotherapy and conventional approaches to cancer care, and their families would want them to just try this last-ditch effort, which would have been better if they had tried it first, but many of those people did rally and turn around because it's believed that cancer is a disease of malnutrition and toxemia. There's not enough good nutrients going in, and the systems of elimination are bogged down, and the body is creating what is known as toxemia or body burden or metabolites. And what the Institute was doing was simply super nourishing people through the raw foods and the juices or fasting them if that was indicated, and then helping their elimination with colon hydrotherapy. And it very often was successful in bringing them back to health. So during that time, I learned about this organization called the American Natural Hygiene Society. And this group of professionals and lay people were safeguarding and warehousing the historical literature on natural hygiene. And some of the doctors in this group were even practicing natural hygiene as fasting specialists. They had supervised tens of thousands of fasting cases. And I began to attend meetings at the American Natural Hygiene Society, and I just sat in the lecture hall and listened to case study after case study of these physicians reporting the fasting cases that they had been involved with. And listening to this gave me great confidence that the human organism is, in fact, self-healing. It is self-defending, and it is self-replicating. And at this point in my life, and I wish everyone could have this confidence in the fact that the body heals itself if we assist it with what it needs. And basically, it needs us to get out of the way. We have all been inculcated to have the remedy mentality. What do I take when I get sick? When in fact, just the opposite is what we should be thinking. What should I take away to unburden my organism? So fasting, of course, is the ultimate unburdening when we fast on water. And there are different fasts, but I'm specifically talking about water fasting. When we take away nutrition, we allow the body to suspend the digestive mechanism. And digestion is the greatest energy utilizer that the body goes through every day. So if we stop digestion, all of a sudden the body has extra energy. And it will ignite a approach called autolysis, which means self-digestion. And it will go through every system in the body, and it will digest, cellularly digest, or lyse, break down everything that shouldn't be there. And that includes things like plaque in the arteries, phlegm in the lungs, exudate in the sinuses, inflammation in the joints and the muscles, And so the body is really cleaning itself out. And I remember having a friend back at this time, and her father was a candidate for a quadruple heart bypass. And miraculously, she convinced him to hold off on that and do the water fasting. And he water fasted for 40 days under the care of a fasting physician. And at the end, he returned to his cardiologist, who said his vessels were absolutely clean. How did you do this? And the man reported, well, I did a 40-day water fast. And the physician was absolutely shocked and said, but you could have died. And the man said, no, I was under the care of experienced physicians. So there's a very small body of these physicians still practicing today. And they can be found at the International Association of Hygienic Practitioners. If you Google that, or even just Google hygienic practitioners, you will find their directory, and anyone who's interested in learning more about fasting, it would be ideal to get in touch with them and make an arrangement to go and stay at their facilities. So my most recent water fast, and I will say that the only reason I attempted this, I did 8 days recently on water at home. And it's not advised to do water fasting at home, because when we're in our own environment, there's just so many things we can do. Oh, I can go water the plants, or the garden needs weeding, or I could write a letter, whatever. But when you're in a fasting facility, you're really on bed rest, because one of the underlying tenets for a successful fast is complete rest, and that is digestive rest, physical rest, emotional rest. And the facility that I was in when I did my month-long water fast in 2002 didn't have any electronics, no televisions. You were allowed to have a little earbud with a little radio, but that was about it. And you really were encouraged and really told to stay in bed. I was walking around for the first few days, and Dr. Scott, my physician, said, get in bed. You're a little monkey, and you're wasting energy. That energy that you're using to walk around could be used at cellular cleansing. So I didn't understand when I first went in, but I learned so much being in that hospital with 15 other people who were there for various reasons. When I went in 2002, I was walking with two canes and taking Percocet for pain, because I was told that I had osteoarthritis and that I was bone on bone and that I would need to have a hip replacement. But after the 30 days on water, and I will say that, you know, we were monitored very closely. Our vital signs were taken regularly. We had blood drawn regularly. And if someone was getting into trouble biochemically, Dr. Scott did not hesitate to break that fast either with a sip of orange juice or a bite of an avocado. And he knew by the blood chemistry values which food to choose, and the person in crisis would have a bite or a sip that would bring them out enough, and they might start to drink a liquid juice or have a few bites of food, but Dr. Scott would monitor their blood chemistry and get them right back to fasting as soon as that was possible. My roommate was in for a precancerous liver, and she had a very difficult time, because what happens is when we water fast, our whole lifestyle that preceded that point in time is going to be revisited. For example, on the 20th day of my water fast, I began to smell nicotine in my fingers, and I said to the nurse, I'm smelling nicotine in my fingers. And she said, well, you must have been a smoker. And I said, I was a smoker 35 years ago. And she said, well, the nicotine that was stored in your cells is being broken down, burnt down, and released, and you're smelling in it. It was just an amazing moment, because there was no kidding. This was really happening. You could smell it, and the process that she described made it easy to understand. So I didn't have a lot of bad eating experiences because I'd been a health nut for a long time. But my roommate, this was right after 9/11, and there were a couple of people in the facility at this time. This was April of 2002, so not even almost 6 months after 9/11. And people were still on edge. And this, my roommate told me that she would eat a pound bag of M&Ms every night while watching TV since 9/11. And so her body had a lot of sugar and a lot of just residue to burn off. And when that burning process started, she felt sick. And so a lot of the people did there. A lady across the hall, she had the same emotional response to 9/11, and she was binging on Chinese food every night and had gained, I don't know, 80 pounds or something. And when she started fasting, it was very, very difficult for her too. So our lifestyle will determine how we feel when we begin to fast. And for people who would like to try fasting but have not been disciplined with their nutrition or have been through a slump, you can work your way out of that by beginning to have better food choices, try to avoid packaged foods. They're mostly processed. They have a lot of chemicals. Our bodies do not, our design is not to process chemicals. So those things get incomplete metabolism. They get shunted here and there. And I'll tell you, one of the things that fasting works very, very well for is fibromyalgia. Because the discomfort of fibromyalgia is the shunting of these incomplete products of metabolism into the muscles and into the joints. And when they begin to burn off, that fibro just goes away. And I've seen it happen many times. Even people who don't do water fasting, but they choose to do juice fasting, which is a great prelude into water fasting, because juicing, and I'm talking about getting a juice machine and juicing carrots and beets and celery, when we're juicing, we really suspend digestion because we're not taking anything solid, but we don't suspend nutrition. So the body continues to have energy, and it doesn't have the burden of digestion, so it actually has a lot of energy. It's very surprising. When people are doing juice fasts, they'll say, my goodness, I had mental clarity. I had so much energy that juice fasting is actually enjoyable. If you haven't fasted before, it's a great thing to start with because it's pleasant and it prepares your system to refresh your palate. Most of us have palates that have been so deranged by artificial flavors and just a whole bunch of stuff that isn't really fit for human consumption, that when we fast, the palate resets to default. And one of the wonderful things that happened to me these past, well, recent 8 days on this water fast is that my palate reset. And right now, I think I'm almost 2 weeks out of my 8-day fast. I'm still enjoying chopped tomatoes and cucumbers, just a bowl of those chopped up with a little sea salt. And to me, the flavors are so grand because my palate has gone back to its original design. And the foods that were created for us, the fruits and vegetables, fish and flesh, whatever people want to eat, if they eat local products that they know where they came from, they know they're not polluted with all kinds of additives, then that's a great way to get the body ready to do a water fast.
Pamela Evans-Gary will be returning shortly.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Time we open up our eyes and our
heart. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Vaccine Free America. I am your host, Sally L. Cordy, and my guest this evening is Pamela Evans Gary. And she has been talking to us for the past 20 minutes about fasting. And she is a certified colonic therapist as well as a registered nurse. And I don't know if she's going to bring this into the conversation, but I certainly am eager to hear something about that towards the end, if at all possible, if we have time. So, Pamela, please proceed. You are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, Sally. Yep, I was just talking about juicing, and for anybody out there who's not familiar with juicing, please watch the video Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. It's a really great documentary, and it just follows a guy who did a juice diet, I guess, or you could call it a juice fast, and the remarkable effects he had. But I wanted to now talk about specifically this recent 8-day fast that I did. I did it because I walk with a limp because I have iliopsoas syndrome. My iliopsoas is frozen for whatever reason, and I have been taught that all pain and disease begin with inflammation. So I wanted to do something to get as much of the inflammation out of my body as I could. And I knew that for me, because I've done this before and I'm only can speak about my own personal experience, but for me, water fasting is the great rejuvenator. And so I thought I was going to do 2 weeks. I didn't know how long it would take. But one of the things I've learned is that when we follow the body, it will always tell us what to do. And so I set out, and the first day of the water fast was more difficult for me this time than it was back in 2002, because this time I had started drinking coffee, 3 or 4 ounces of coffee 3 or 4 times a week, which isn't a lot. But the first day of the fast, I noticed that I felt a subliminal nervousness that I did not feel the first day of the prior fast. And I think it was the coffee being burnt off. And the second day, I didn't feel that at all. So if anyone's a real coffee drinker, be aware that coffee will come out, and it makes you feel very antsy and just, you know, you just don't want to sit still. But it does burn off, and it's really quite a benefit to go through that, because on the other side, the body is much cleaner. And the other thing about fasting is that it really helps us to build our self-discipline. I think Homo sapiens that's not our strong suit. And when we set a goal, and especially for fasting, it becomes difficult. For example, I just walked by a melon in my kitchen, and the smell of the melon just was, I mean, I just wanted to grab that melon and eat it right up, but you don't want to do that. And so staying out of the kitchen was what I finally had to do, and tell my family, you know, I'm not going to be cooking for a while, and I'm not even going to be in the kitchen. So that made a big difference. But the second day of the fast, I just, you know, drinking water, and I didn't drink much water in 2002, but this time I found I wanted more water, and I think it's because I was burning off more junk than I did in 2002, but I'm not really sure. But if you're building up to a fast, you really want to try to go for the healthier foods before you start it. So on day two, I was still hungry, because usually by the second day you're not that hungry, but I was still a little bit hungry, and that was hard. But I sat in the sun outside and just rested, and it was okay. And around this time, when you're fasting, the tongue becomes coated, and it can become slightly enlarged, and the breath begins to become very strong, almost horrid, and a taste in the mouth was beginning to build. And I knew this was right on track, because when you're fasting on water, you get really bad perspiration, smell, and horrible breath, and a terrible taste in the mouth, and a coated tongue. And that is evidence that the body is working in burning this stuff off, and all of those effects are the residual of that happening. So, you know, I couldn't swish my mouth with any mouthwash or anything, because if you do anything other than water, you're not water fasting. You can't use toothpaste to brush your teeth. It isn't even really recommended that you take a shower, because taking a hot shower opens the blood vessels in the body, and people have actually fainted in the shower as the blood rushed to their feet when they were standing up. But I have a shower with a seat in it, so I did take a shower, but I couldn't use any soap or anything, and that was all right. But things you just wouldn't think about. You can't use anything. So on the third day, the breath got really bad, the tongue was really coated, and the perspiration was quite thick, and I was starting to get really weak. Even standing up, I was quite weak and couldn't stand for a long time. And this situation, this condition really held steady for a few days. And then I noticed, also I should mention sleeping. For some people, sleep can be difficult, especially if you are burning off a lot of caffeine, or I know in the 2002 fast, I did have difficulty sleeping. I remember just staring at the ceiling a few nights in a row, and I think it was because the nicotine, which is a stimulant, was reburning. But this time I was able to sleep well. I did have maybe one night where I was restless, but sleep wasn't an issue this time. By the sixth day, the coating on the tongue started to go down. And the reason I did this was because I had pain in my leg and my knee, and the pains were diminishing. And I could tell that the body was really doing some good work. The horrible taste in the mouth was getting less, and the perspiration was not as heavy and concentrated. The seventh and eighth day, they continued to get less, be less noticeable, and I felt great improvement in my joints. So at the end of the eighth day, I decided, you know what, I'm becoming weary, and I think my body has accomplished enough work so that if I start to refeed, maybe I can continue the anti-inflammatory process by making wise choices. Because the hardest part and the most critical part of water fasting is the refeeding period. And that's another reason why it's really good to be in a facility, because your refeeding meals are controlled for you. The first thing you do when you're going to break your water fast is to have some fresh juice. In 2002, I chose watermelon juice. But this time, the thought of watermelon was too sweet, and I didn't want to have that. So I chose orange juice, and my inclination was to guzzle that 8-ounce glass of orange juice, but I knew that I'd probably throw it up if I did that, because you can't be that rigorous with the body. So I made myself just drink 1 ounce, you know, take a 1 ounce gulp at a time over a few minutes, and I tolerated it well. And I was so anxious to eat that I broke the water fast, probably inappropriately. I mean, you can read the literature, and there are many, many, many ways and many juices and different protocols you could follow. And after an hour, after I had that orange juice, I had some bone broth. I drink bone broth every morning. It's my morning beverage now. And, oh boy, it just was nirvana. It tasted so good. And then the next morning, I woke up and I decided, you know, I'm moving too fast, but I really am craving chopped tomatoes and chopped cucumbers. So I had a small bowl of that, and I chewed each mouthful 25 times, because we are a nation of woofers. Our jobs and our schools teach us to eat really fast, and that sets up a lifetime of bad digestion. So I've trained myself to chew each mouthful 25 times. And it makes a difference in how much energy we get out of the food if we break the matrix of the cellulose and allow our digestive enzymes to pull the nutrition out. The teeth are the only masticating point in the body. That's the only place we can mash things. So we really want to take advantage of the teeth. And when we do, and we hold the food in our mouth longer than 2 seconds, there's a signaling from the food to some receptor glands in the mouth that let the stomach know, hey, this is a carbohydrate, this is fat, this is protein. So there's a communication that takes place if the food is held in the mouth long enough. So I was very careful about refeeding, and I'm still being careful about refeeding, which is really a miracle for me, because when I've done juice fasting before, I have not refed properly or wisely, and I'm very grateful that this time it's been a really good reentry, and the inflammation is still down, and I'm feeling really positive about the experience. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad that I didn't go 2 weeks. I think it would have been too much, because while I was fasting this time, I was reading some of the historical literature, and the consensus seemed to be that longer fasts, like 18 days and 30 days. And, I mean, people have fasted for over 100 days. And I just mentioned one little case study right now that I heard years and years ago by Dr. Alec Burton, who is a hygienic physician from Australia. And he said a family brought in a family member with cancer of the lung. And it was diffuse, and it had metastasized. He'd already had conventional chemo, radiation, surgery. Both lungs had collapsed, and they started the water fast. The man was fragile, but his family and he wanted to do it. It was his last chance. Anyway, long story short, on the 19th day of water, both of his lungs spontaneously reinflated. And they did end up fasting him over 100 days, and he walked out of that facility a brand new man. And when you hear case studies like this, you just, at least you become curious. But then if you implement the science into your own life, it's so enriching, and it's so rewarding. I feel like doing a periodic fast is my best health insurance. I don't go to doctors. We don't have health insurance because none of our choices would be covered. And anything we do has to be out of pocket anyway, so we don't bother with health insurance. But I really encourage people to check fasting out. And again, the body, the organization that is still going strong after all these years to safeguard this information is now no longer called the American Natural Hygiene Society. It's now called the National Health Association. And its website is healthscience.org. And they publish an award-winning periodical that has lots of case studies in it and just lots of really great information. And if you go there, you'll find their periodical, and just I think you'll get a flavor for what they do. But I'm a life member of that organization, and a retired board member helped out for many years, and still like to promote them because it's a true science, and I believe it is one of the best healing approaches known to man. I don't know. Let's see.
Hi, Pamela. I just would like to share your website with people, if I may, healthlyceum.com.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
And
I offer
Sanford, Maine.
Yeah, Springvale, actually. But, yeah, I offer colon hydrotherapy and health development consults to people. And a lot of people who come in, or a certain percentage of them, have heard about what I do, and they are facing a cancer diagnosis, but they're not quite sure they want to do conventional therapy. So they will come in, and I'll tell them what my husband did, because in 1996, my husband was diagnosed with squamous cell cancer of the tonsil stage 4, metastases into the lymph system, and he was given a 20% chance to survive 2 years if he did a radical neck resection with radiation and extraction of all of his teeth, because he would have lost his salivary glands, and on and on and on. And my husband became emotionally paralyzed, but once he came out of it, he decided, no, I don't want to do that. And we hired a medical researcher who told us alternatives for what were available for our diagnosis. And the big gun that we ended up using was IV vitamin C. We were doing 50,000 milligrams of IV vitamin C 3 times a week. And we actually had to go to Brooklyn to find a physician. We're in Maine. We had to go to Brooklyn, and this is 96, to find a doctor who would do the IV vitamin C. And his name was Dr. Chu Fong. He was an MD, oncologist, hematologist, pharmacologist, a brilliant, brilliant man. And when we walked into his office, the first thing he said was, please don't tell anyone that you're coming to see me, because if the FDA finds out that I am successfully treating cancer, they will shut me down. Now, this was the era of Brzezinski. Brzezinski's office, he was a He invented the antineoplastins and was having great success helping cancer patients. And his office was raided monthly, and it was a horrible. I mean, it's just so diabolical what happens. But anyway, Dr. Chu Fong is no longer living, or I wouldn't have exposed him. He was such a fantastic physician that he would try all of his remedies on himself first, and he carried such a patient load. You know, he'd start his day at 7, and he wouldn't be home till 11, and he just burned himself out at 44. But anyway, we are very grateful to him, and my husband did the IV vitamin C for a whole year. And Dr. Chu Fong said, look, you're a nurse. Don't come to New York for these treatments. You pull to the back of my office and open your trunk. And he filled our trunk with all the things we'd need to do the IV stuff at home. And we did it at home. It helped my husband to rest. And now it's 26 years later, or however many, 24 years later, and he's fine. And he was fine. Ever since then, he was fine. So the 20% chance to survive 2 years was erroneous. And while we were at Dana-Farber, I should mention that, and we have it on tape, when we said to them, well, we're interested in more of a nutritional approach and trying to fortify the immune system, they laughed, and they said, well, nutrition and the immune system have nothing to do with cancer. So they didn't know much then, and I'm not sure they know much more now, and I'm sorry to be cynical towards them, but we have to understand that the medical industrial complex is running the world right now. That's what we're seeing going on. And they don't believe in, they don't like fasting because, you know, they don't teach it. They teach that it's quackery and that it can kill people. Because if everyone started fasting, they know that they'd be out of business very fast. And I'd like to make sure that people understand that physicians and nurses and technicians and healthcare professionals are not the driving edge of the medical industrial complex. It is the insurance companies, the hospital corporations, and the pharmaceutical industry. The business side of the industry is the cutthroat side. And, you know, so I feel really sad for the doctors and the nurses and the practitioners, because I don't think they want to do a lot of the things they do. You know, that's why I got off the team. And I've had many nurses come into my office and say, I'd love to do what you do, but I need to put bread on the table, and I'm working in an oncology unit watching people die. So it's a difficult situation. I don't know where we're going to end up, but I wish people would realize that this medical industrial complex has outgrown its britches, and it's now acting as an authoritative government body, and we all need to stand up and put them in their place and say, no, you're not, it's not appropriate what's going on, and I wish and pray that people will find the wherewithal to speak out and not go along with this quackery. This is the real quackery, don't you think, Sally?
Oh, absolutely. And listening to you, everything makes such good sense. But what people don't realize, and I don't believe we have really exposed here, is that fasting, you know, you expect that your entire body will benefit, but you don't think in terms of your bones. And Ingrid was telling me that a friend of hers fasted to improve the health of her hip. So I thought, well, Pamela's fasting for, I believe, your upper leg, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Would you explain how bones can benefit from fasting?
Well, everything is rejuvenated when the fast is going on. For example, when I did my water fast in 2002, Dr. Scott told me, because when I went in, he said, what are you here for? And I said, well, I've been told that I'm bone on bone in my hips. And he said, oh, well, at the time I was 50. And he said, you know, you're too young for that. And besides, you only need a hairspray thickness of cartilage between the bones to prevent that from happening. And just about everybody's got a hairspray thickness. But during the fasting process, the inflammation is lysed, it is burned off, it's reversed, and then true healing can take place. So with my situation right now, I'm dealing with an iliopsoas muscle, which is different than bone, and my muscle has definitely loosened up. I have more range of motion and less discomfort. So I don't know exactly at the micro level what happened, but I know that it has benefited me, and I know that my body knows how to heal itself. And one thing about allopathic medicine is they deny the fact, the scientific fact that is self-evident, that the body is self-healing. If we cut ourselves, it bleeds, a scab forms, scab falls off, there's new skin. Break a bone, the bone might be set in a cast, but that calyx, that mending that develops, is automatic pilot on the body. It knows what to do. And if you talk to a cardiac surgeon, they'll tell you very often when they open somebody up to do repair, where there was a clot, the vessels went around the clot and developed new collateral circulation in its effort to save its own life. So for allopathics to say that the body doesn't heal itself, that makes them look so foolish.
Now, mental clarity, you were saying that this improves your mental clarity, and I was speaking to my son before you came on, telling him that I was interviewing you about fasting, and he said, oh, I fast once a week. I said, you do? He said, yes,
wow.
I do it for mental clarity.
Yes.
I do it on Monday, a day that's, you know, I need to have my wits about me at the beginning of the week.
Right.
And so he does it once. He lost 60 pounds in 1 year. He said it wasn't just from fasting. He was also watching what he ate and exercising more. So I don't want people to get unrealistic expectations when I say that. But nonetheless, he did lose weight, and he did enjoy mental clarity from fasting one day a week regularly.
Good for him. And the mental clarity, I think, you know, that burning off of the dross, just burning up stuff that shouldn't be there, that's one mechanism that happens that gives us mental clarity. But there's another aspect, and this won't happen with short juice fasting, but it will happen with like 5 days or more on water. And that is when we are 90% microbe. And in our bodies, there's good microbes and bad microbes. And some of the bad microbes, which could be parasites or yeast or worms, their waste is neurotoxic. And so when it gets into the central nervous system, it can create brain fog, it can create irritability, confusion, anxiety, even depression if it's been in the system long enough. So when you go without eating for at least 5 days, you're starving those bad microbes, because they're voracious. They've got to eat. And that was one of the things that I really liked about this 8-day water fast, is that I know if I had any residual, because I had been dealing with some Lyme years ago, and who knows what else. Something may have been evolving that I wasn't even aware of, but my body took care of it. I'm sure of that. So periodic fasting is going to be a way of life for me, and I'm very appreciative of it, and the fact that it doesn't cost any money and anybody can do it.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to say, are you using tap water? Is there a special kind of water? What kind of water do you drink?
Well, we live in the country, and we have a well. We have our well water tested every couple of years, so I was just drinking water out of my tap. I think when I was in the facility, they were using distilled water. But I remember Dr. Scott at one point saying, well, you don't want to drink Chicago tap water, but a lot of places have pretty good tap water. So he didn't make a big fuss out of it.
I know they used to bottle New York water and sell it. It was really good water.
In the 1800s?
The same as it has been. But it sounds like we're going to be going to commercial. I just wanted to say that you are listening to Vaccine Free America on republicbroadcasting.org. My guest this evening is Pamela Evans-Gary, a naturopath nurse, and her website is healthlyceum.org.
.com.
Oh, I apologize, .com. Health, Lyceum is spelled L-Y-C-E-U-M, healthlyceum.com. Okay. Well, anyway, so I guess maybe we're not going to commercial. That's good. So let us continue then with this discussion.
All righty. You mentioned colon hydrotherapy, and when I was in the facility, you were given an enema bag, a little quart enema bag, because the intestines pretty much shut down. But if you felt uncomfortable and wanted to do a little irrigation, you did have that option. The day before I did my 8-day water fast, I had a colonic irrigation, which colon hydrotherapy, I don't know if people are familiar with it, but it's just using warm filtered water to irrigate the 5-foot-long intestine and wash out the accumulated stool that's in there. And
we'll be right back with Pamela Evans-Gary, and she's going to speak some more on colon hydrotherapy, something about which she knows a great deal.
Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Time we
Welcome back to Vaccine Free America. I am your host, Sally L. Cordy, and my incredible guest this evening has been Pamela Evans-Gary, who I just invited to come back at the end of August and speak at length about colon hydrotherapy. I have just received a letter that really will shift people's focus about what is really spreading disease in the nursing homes. And Pamela is probably the most qualified person to address this. But in the interim, Pamela, please continue with what you were saying.
Oh, we're back?
Yes, okay. Yes, we are.
All right, yes. Okay, so colon hydrotherapy, most people don't understand that every organ in the body either directly or indirectly dumps into the colon. It's the main pipe exit, and when we irrigate that colon, we are changing the hydraulic pressure in that pipe, and when you reduce that pressure, everything else just begins to drain into it. And the liver goes directly into the small intestine, and that purges itself. We get a little bit of a liver cleanse. We see evidence of that because bile starts to come out in the waste hose. The lymphatic system dumps directly into the colon. That's the sewer system of the body. And when we irrigate the colon, we increase lymphatic release. So colon hydrotherapy is a very simple. We're just washing the colon with water. It's not invasive. It's not uncomfortable. And I've seen people's lives change because of it. You know, we have an epidemic, a real epidemic, of constipation. And I found that people who have a history of constipation are usually the people who get cancer. And it's not an axiomatic thing, but it's very common that if someone has been constipated all their life, they tend to be more prone to having cancer. So just periodically flushing out that colon exercises the muscle of the colon. The colon is basically striated muscle fiber. And when you infuse water into it and then release that water, you're essentially pumping that muscle like you would in a gym when you're working out. So we strengthen the colon when we do colon hydrotherapy. And people have commented, well, you're going to wash away all the good flora. Well, I can tell you from experience that most people don't have good flora in their colon because their colon is not healthy. It is deranged. In order for probiotics to do their job in the colon has to have a pH of 5, which is a mild acid, which is what a healthy colon has. But because most people are so constipated or they're literally dealing with worms, we have 7 out of 10 people in this country who have worm infestation. And isn't it interesting that we've all been taught the mantra that says parasites are a third world nation issue? That has never been true. Why did they put that into our programming? If you ask people who are 85 and older, do you remember when your mother would give you this terrible drink in the fall and in the spring? 50% of them will say, oh, yeah. Well, the moms in the 1930s knew that you deworm your horses, your cows, your cats, your dogs, and you deworm your kids, too. And they would mix up castor oil and molasses and diatomaceous earth and wormwood. Now, wormwood is so bitter, you'd never forget the taste of it. They would make the kids drink that.
Pamela, my friend, we are coming to a close of this program. I look forward to interviewing you possibly the third or fourth week in August. And I know you have so much more to teach this audience. So goodbye, everyone. Ingrid Castle's program is coming up, Immunize Wisely. She's very excited about her guest this evening. And I don't recall her name, but I know if she's excited, this is going to be a great interview. So thank you so much for listening to Vaccine Free America on RBN. Cheerio.
Endovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.